Have you ever had that kind of dream? You know, the kind of dream I'm talking about? Well, not yet. I haven't told you. The one that literally jerks your body upright from your bed in the middle of the night. The one that leaves you disoriented, confused, afraid. The one that feels too strange to be reality, but too real to be just a dream, right? Have you ever had a moment in real life that feels like it should be a dream? Have you ever had a moment in real life that feels like it should be a dream? It's so traumatic. It's so gut-wrenching. It's so full of loss. It's so out of nowhere that you keep blinking your eyes and shaking your head to see if there's any way out of it. Has your suffering ever been so great? Your loss so profound? Your loneliness so deep? Your longing so intense that you've wondered if love and life and joy and connection are simply out of your reach? Of course, these are all rhetorical questions because I already know the answer. I know every one of you, every one of us has. Every one of us has experienced, or maybe better put, endured moments like that. And that's actually where we find our starstruck lovers today in Song of Songs. Somewhere between a nightmare and real life. Last week, as we began this series on the Song of Songs, we focused on the gift of encounter, the gift of our bodies, the gift of things like sensuality and tangible love that's found in this text. We imagined an embodied God celebrating our embodied selves. But today, as we keep entering the story that the Song of Songs tells, we face another truth about love, one that the 1970s rock band Nazareth tried to tell us: love hurts. Hear these words again from chapter 5. I slept, I was dreaming, but my heart was awake. So is this a dream or real life? Does it matter? I slept, but my heart was awake. Listen, my beloved was knocking. Open to me, my love. My head is wet with dew. My beloved thrust his hand into the opening, and my inmost being yearned for him. I arose to open to my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had turned and was gone. My soul failed me when he spoke. I sought him, but I did not find him. I called him, but he gave no answer. Making their rounds in the city, the sentinels found me. They beat me. They wounded me. They took away my mantle, those sentinels of the walls. I beg you, if you find my beloved, tell him this: I am faint with love. Here, right in the middle of this ecstatic and sensual love poem, we find these two lovers in a terrifying situation. One of the lovers is beaten, wounded, left for dead as she runs through the dark night of the city looking for her beloved. Is this a dream? Is this reality? Does it even matter? See, the nightmare of separation has edged its way into the poem now. The fear of loss, the fear of abandonment, the fear of violence, it's here now. There's no way to hide from it, or to make it go away, or to act like it isn't a real part of every love story. Just this week, as I sat on the phone with one friend who is facing their parents' death, and another friend who's facing a kind of death in their vocational life, and I was absorbing the news in Bolivia, I was reminded that the nightmare of separation, of loss, of being separated from the thing, the person, the experience, the space, the community you've fallen in love with is always present. And it's tempting, in the face of that reality, to ask the obvious theological question that comes up, right? Or maybe it's not obvious. Let me tell you what I think the obvious theological question is that comes up. Why would a God of love allow us to suffer like this? Allow our souls to endure the nightmare of separation? But there's a deeper question here, I think. One that pushes us and our imaginations much farther, if you're willing to go there with me. Okay. See, so far I've related us to the lover of the story. We are the ones losing our way, searching in the darkness, enduring this nightmare of separation. But what if instead of thinking of ourselves in that role, what would happen if we saw God there instead? What if this poem is about God enduring the nightmare of separation from us? What if instead this poem is an invitation to imagine God as a God who knows intimately, viscerally, what it feels like to lose, to suffer, to endure, to hurt? This is an incredibly difficult thing to think about God. This is an incredibly difficult thing to think about God. One more time. This is an incredibly difficult thing to think about God. But if God is this way, if God is this vulnerable to suffering, if God is beaten in the middle of the night in pursuit of us, out of longing for us, if God feels sadness and fear and longing when separated from us, what does this tell us then about our God? See this, friends, and I'm about to use some big phrases, but I'm letting you know in advance. So stay with me. This, friends, is where our theology of liberation and a theology of mysticism collide, where they intersect, where they find each other in holy matrimony. This is where we see the union between the gospel as a message of liberation for the oppressed and the gospel as a message of our inward belovedness connect. This is where it all comes together, y'all. It comes together in a very particular God who knows intimately, viscerally, the very particular suffering of a very particular people. And in that knowing is our lover. God, the one who, if we dare to listen, says to us, I heard you reach your hand through the door, but I couldn't reach you. And I ran through the city looking for you. I was beaten and unrobed. I knew the sting of violence. I was longing for you, enduring the nightmare of separation for you. The God of the universe is daring us to believe that she's not that different from us. That she longs like you do. That she needs like you do. That she suffers like you do. That she desires like you do. That she hurts like you do. That she loves like you do. See, that changes a lot about how we understand and relate to God. It might just change a lot about how we see ourselves too. What does it mean to worship a God who worships us? What does it mean to long for a God who longs for us? To suffer for a God who suffers for us? To need a God who needs us? What does it mean if God has unfulfilled dreams? If God has longings that go untended? If God has sadness that cannot be consoled? If God has family that has rejected him? Listen, I know. This is dicey theology. It would get me in deep trouble most places, y'all. I would be sent out the door. But what if all our revering of this distant, omnipotent, all-knowing way above us, God, has cut us off from a God who has been searching for us? I know. Maybe it's not an either or. Maybe God really is both, all-powerful and all-loving. But we sure have spent a lot of time on that all-powerful part. We have spent a lot of Christian history on the all-powerful part. I think we've got that down. Actually not. I just wonder how much love we've lost, how much intimacy we've lost, how much connection we've lost, how much humanity and divinity we've lost in not paying attention to this. And I wonder how much more freedom we would feel to see suffering not as disconnection from God, but as solidarity with God. To see loss not as punishment from God, but as a deeper awareness of God. Would you? Could you dare to believe that God has entered the city streets in search of you, has been battered in pursuit of you, is faint in love for you? And if you could, if you would, how would that change your relationship with the world then? How would you enter the city streets then? How would you relate to suffering? How would you embrace desire and love and loss and fear and life? What if God is our star-crossed, star-struck lover roaming the night streets looking for us, needing us, longing for us? Does that terrify you? Does it move you? Does it free you? Does it bewilder you? Good. Because if it does, you might just be hearing what the Song of Songs is singing.